I'm grateful this morning that we serve a risen Savior, amen, and that He is risen and He is coming back again, amen, amen, praise the Lord. Hey, have your Bibles with you this morning. I'm going to invite you to find your place with me in the book of 1 Kings in the 19th chapter, 1 Kings chapter 19. How many of you are Winnie the Pooh fans? Any Winnie the Pooh fans in the house? Okay, amen. Good stuff. And well, one of the most beloved characters of Winnie the Pooh is who?
Eeyore.
Man, I am so, I'm a little disappointed this morning that Elton is not here. Elton does our video stuff and helps with our live streaming and things like that. And his work called him out. He's traveling today and he's not here. And I found out Wednesday night when I gave him this material that he never seen Winnie the Pooh. He didn't know who Eeyore was. And I'm telling you, you can tell a guy who has no kids and only cats, right? And he's got his own characters in his world, right? And but we know Eeyore, right? Eeyore is known to have this gloomy disposition, just kind of this down and out. He kind of talks monotone. He just has this downward look of life. He's always moping around, sad expression on his face. And when Eeyore speaks, it's slow and monotonous, and those are things. But you may not know this. Fun fact. What is Eeyore's favorite food? Thistles. Think about it. Thistles. Who in their right mind eats thistles? It may explain a lot about Eeyore's life, right? It may explain why Eeyore is so grumpy and so down and so in the blues all the time. Now, here's the real key this morning. How many of us feel like we've been chewing on thistles this week? Hello? Come on. Man, we go through those seasons in our life, we go through those times in our life where we get the blues, right? And sometimes the blues get bluer than blue. You see, it's not just the times that we get blue. Sometimes the blues get us. And when the blues get us, that's when the blues get bluer than blue. And so I got a word for you this morning. I want us to look in this morning in God's Word in 1 Kings chapter 19, looking at the life of Elijah. Now, we've talked about the fact that Elijah had this great victory at Mount Carmel. Remember? He went there and he challenged the prophets of Baal. It was like 850 prophets against Elijah. 850-1. And they built the altar. They tried to call down their God to deliver by fire. And their God answered nothing because he's not able to. Elijah prayed a little prayer and God answered by fire, consumed the altar, all the water that had been poured on it, everything. And God defeated the prophets of Baal and gave Elijah this great mountaintop experience. Now we find that Elijah gets word. Because he's defeated the prophets of Baal, Jezebel, the king's wife, comes along and she says, "Hey, you know what? I'm going to do to Elijah exactly what Elijah has done to the prophets. Before the evening sets, Elijah is going to be a dead man." And so what does Elijah do? Remember last week we talked about the fact that Elijah had been by the brook Cherith and God had revealed himself there to him. And Elijah was transformed from Elijah the Tishbite to Elijah, the man of God, to just simply the man of God, right? And so what happens in the life of Elijah that when this Jezebel comes along to challenge him? Doesn't he stand up and say, "I'm the man of God. How dare you challenge me?" That's not what he does. Elijah runs. And so we pick up here in chapter 19, verse 20. "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, 'So let the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as one of them by tomorrow about this time.' And when he saw that, he arose And he ran for his life. And he went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die. And he said, "It is enough now, Lord. Take my life, for I am no better than my father." Then as he lay and slept under the broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank, and he lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you." And so he arose and he ate and drank, and he went in the stream of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. And there he went into a cave, and he spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And so he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, tore down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Elijah comes to the end of his rope here. Elijah is running. Elijah is down. Elijah seems to be defeated. Have you ever met someone who seems to be just too happy to be true? I've met those people. Can I just give you some pastoral insight this morning? It is too good to be true. Even Elijah, the man of God, gets down on difficult times. We all find ourselves in difficult times. Sometimes we as Christians try to put on this false front. How are you doing today? "Oh, I'm too blessed to be stressed," right? Or "I'm blessed by the best," right? Listen, that sounds spiritual. But let me give you a Greek description. The Greek word for that is hakos. Okay? There is no such thing as somebody who's just all so blessed and they never get in trouble and they never get down and they never have a bad day. We all are human beings and we all go through those times. And it's not a reflection of the lack of faith or our lack of trust in God and all this. It's just the fact that we're human beings and we're living in a fallen world and we all get overcome with emotion sometimes. And as Christians, we need to be honest. We all have these tough times. And some of our toughest times come right after our best times. And that's exactly what happened to Elijah. That's why Mondays follow Sundays, right? Come on now. Man, we come to church and we praise the Lord. Let's do it again, right? And then comes Monday. We have to go out there and work a day work. We have to face that boss, and we have to face the challenges of life. It's kind of like having a vacation and then going back to work. You know, it's never fun, right? And so to defeat the blues and to protect against the blues, we have to have an understanding, really, of kind of what the blues are, okay? And so let's kind of walk through this morning, and we'll kind of diagnose this, if you will. First, notice the diagnosis of the characteristics of the blues. And there's five here that I want to point out this morning. My son would ask me when he was at home, he'd say, "Dad, what do you have this morning?" And I'd say, "Well, I have three." And he'd say, "Okay." Sometimes I'd say four, and he'd go, "I don't know about that." Sometimes I'd say five, and he'd go, "Oh, man, we're never going to have that." And then he found out that I'd have 3 points and 5 supplements to each one of those. And so he really got discouraged then, okay? But we're going to move through these kind of quickly. So notice, first of all, the characteristics here. First of all, Elijah ran away from the lion. It says there in verse 3, "And so that he ran for his life. He went to Beersheba, and there he left his servant. And then even without his servant, he went another day's journey into the wilderness." Man, if you need something, that's a good place to run to, right? Run where there's nothing, right? That'll help you out. And that's what happens. You see, when we get the blues, we make bad decisions. We run to the wrong places looking for help. We run to empty cisterns, if you will. And then in verse 4 there, it says, and he himself went on this day's journey, said that, and he prayed that he might die. That is, that Elijah gave up on life. He just given it. He said, Lord, it's not enough. I love the fact there in verse 10, he says, I'm alone and well, and they seek to take my life. He's like, well, I want to die, but I don't want them to kill him. You know, I mean, he's kind of between and betwixt there, man. I mean, his mind is really messed up. He's in a dark place. In verse 4 there, in the last part of verse 4, he says, I know better than my fathers. It's in his mind, man. His mind is telling him things that are not necessarily true. He's beginning to believe the lies of his mind. And he feels isolated and alone. Again, in verse 10, he says, I have been very zealous for the Lord of hosts, the children of God have forsaken your covenant, tore down your altars, and killed your prophets, and I alone am left. Later, God will say, Elijah, you're not a left. He said, I saved 7,000 and give them a remnant for them. Oftentimes, family, we get ourselves in these places of life, we get isolated. We can be in a room with crowded people and still feel like we're all alone. Man, the devil's good at isolating us, right? Making us think that we're the only ones. We're the only ones going through this. We're the only ones having problems. We're the only one that this ever happens to. We're the only ones, you know, that can never find a parking place, Walmart, or whatever. If that's your only problem, you don't have any problems, right? But it's our minds. And then Elijah gave in to self-pity. He became what he thought. And that's so characteristic of the believers. Man, that the devil is good at getting us down, and he just keeps suppressing us and pushing us down, and all of a sudden we begin to give in to what our minds are thinking. My dad in Missouri was a barber, and he had two guys that worked in the shop there with him, and one of them's name was Tom, and Tom was a great guy. His son was a friend of mine. He and I graduated high school together, but Tom was a guy, you could walk in the barber shop and go, hey, Tom, how are you doing today? And Tom would say, man, I am great. This is the best day of my life. And you could say, really? Because you don't really look that good, Tom. Look like you're a little pale. And I'm telling you, before noon, Tom would be home in the bed. Tom would become what his mind began to tell him. Listen, there's a lot of folks out there like that. Man, we're all in that place where, hey, I'll never measure up, right? Because that's what our minds are telling us. I'll never be like so-and-so. That's our minds telling us those things. I'll never be able to live up to God's word. I'll never be able to do it. And our minds begin to take on these negative thoughts, and we begin to be what we think. Listen, again, anyone and everyone experiences the blues. One of my favorite cartoons is The Wizard of Oz. Remember the Wizard of Oz, the little king, and he would be up in his little castle and everything. And he's up there one day, he's up on the balcony, and he's looking out over all of his kingdom, and he's up there all by himself. He says this, he says, it's lonely at the top. Even people at the top get lonely. And then there's this voice that comes up from below and says, well, it ain't no picnic down here either, right? Doesn't matter if you're at the top or at the bottom. We all experience these things. Solomon, the Bible says, was the wisest man and the greatest king of Israel. We began a smaller study this morning in the book of Ecclesiastes in our Sunday school hour, talking about Solomon, the greatest king. And he lived in the heyday of Israel. They had no enemies. Man, the economy was good. They were building things. Life was good. They were just enjoying the best that life had ever been. And even in that moment, Solomon still struggle with the blues. Look what it says in Ecclesiastes 2 in verse 17. He says, therefore, I hated life because work that was done under the sun was distressing me, for all is vanity and grasping for the wind. Everything that Solomon did prospered. When he went to work, he accomplished what he needed to do that day. When he set a goal, he accomplished it. When he wanted to do something, he acquired it. When he wanted to possess something, he acquired it. Everything that Solomon desired in life, Solomon got. Yet Solomon says, I hated life. How in the world could a guy like that hate life? You know, you're not that far off from Solomon. Man, we all have more than we ever deserve, right? Man, we all have great possessions. We all have things. We all have the ability to go to the store and buy things. Listen, God's blessed us abundantly. And yet we find ourselves hating life. He says this again in Ecclesiastes 4. He says, then I returned and considered all the oppression that is done unto the sun. Look, the tears of the oppressed, but they have no comfort. On the side of their oppressors there is power, but they have no comfort. Therefore, I praise the dead who are already dead more than the living who are still alive. Solomon says, all that I've experienced in life, all the good, and I see folks that are dead that's got it better off than me. That's crazy talk. That's crazy thinking. And that's exactly where Elijah was at. Elijah said, it'd be better off for me to be dead, but I don't want anybody to kill me. His mind is giving him to this. And when you're thinking like this, this is a good indication that you're struggling with the blues. Doesn't sound like the King of the Hill to me here, does it? Sounds to me like a guy who's under me. Listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Paul says, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Amen? Man, it's to quit listening to yourself and start listening to God. I say I'm defeated. God says I'm victorious. I say that I am nothing. Jesus says I'm more than a conqueror through Him. Amen? Man, you need to stop listening to yourself and start listening to what God has to say about you. Amen? You need to quit listening to what the devil has to say and start listening to what your Father has to say in heaven. Amen? Listen, I'm telling you this morning. Somebody needs that. Somebody needs that. Well, you need to take that and hold on to it this week. You need to look at your life. You need to do a self-examination. Am I just laying here? Am I wallowing in my little tea party? Am I just sitting here being over-constructive and over-criticizing myself? Do I see it, my body language, my face just tell the world that I'm miserable and hopeless? Listen, as a child of God, we have a hope. We have a living hope. Come on. We have a living hope. So, how do we get to this place? How do we get to the point where we have these blues? Well, there's some things that just happen. You know, Elijah didn't just wake up one day and think, you know what? I think today, let's see, what am I going to do today? I know. Today, I'm going to be blue. I'm just going to get sad today. That sounds like a good thing to do today, right? No, Elijah didn't just wake up and decide to be blue. There were some things that happened in Elijah's life, in his mind. And so there's really five causes here. And I want you to see it's kind of progressive. One leads to another. First of all, Elijah forgot about the power of God. Listen, Elijah had been at Mount Carmel, and he had called down fire, and the fire had consumed the altars, and the prophets of Baal had been defeated. And now Jezebel comes to Elijah and says, before tomorrow, I'm going to kill you. What had just happened that day, Mount Carmel, that great victory was now a distant memory. Even though it had only been a few hours, it seemed like it had been a long time ago. Some of you will get up in the mornings and go to work, and what God spoke to your heart today will sound like a faint whisper, and you won't even remember what he said. The victory of today will be a distant memory, and you'll find out that you forgot about the power of God. And I've come here this morning to tell you that the God of Sunday morning is the God of Monday morning. Amen? Can I get a witness? Hey, listen, the God of Sunday morning is the God of Tuesday morning. And the God of Sunday morning is the God of Wednesday morning, just so you know the days of the week. The God of Sunday morning is also the God of Saturday night and Sunday night. Friday night and Saturday night. Amen? Come on. And we all go through those stuff. And we need to understand the power of God is not confined to this place. The Bible says that we are the temple of God. We carry with us the presence and the power of God. When we walk out of this place, we don't walk out of the presence of God. We walk with the presence of God from this place. The life had forgotten about the power of God. And when you forget about the power of God, then you give in to fear. Now all of a sudden, here's a guy, 850-1, he won. Now that he's one-on-one with a woman, he's afraid. Maybe he's smarter than we give him credit for, guys. Hello? Now all of a sudden he gives in to fear. This prophet who Ahab had been looking for because he wanted to destroy him. Elijah revealed himself to Odin and said, hey, go tell Ahab I'm here. And he'll go and he'll challenge you. And he'll stand before all those people outnumbered. Takes great courage, takes great strength to do that. And he went in the power of God. And now that he's forgotten about the power of God, now he's no longer the guy who's willing to stand in the gap. He's no longer willing to stand up against the evils. Now he gives in to fear. When we forget about the power of God, it leads us into the next step of blues, and that is to give in to fear. And then he gave into this false thinking. We talked about this already a little bit. But the fact that he says, well, you know what? I'm defeated. I can't do this. It's already over with. Look what's going to happen to me. I'm going to die. They're trying to kill me. He gave in on it. And then he gave into fatigue. Notice what it says here. That he went, and in verse 5, it says, then as he lay and slept under the broom tree, he is wore out. He's given in to fatigue. And then that leads then to faint heartedness. He's laying under the tree. He's there, and the Lord comes to him. And he says, what are you doing in this place? Why are you here? He's just given up all hope. The Lord, that they're all trying to kill him. Again, it's this faint heartedness. Remember when Paul was on the ship? He'd been arrested. They were taking him to Rome. He appealed to the sea. And they were on this ship, and they were sailing, and they'd come into this storm, and the winds and the waves were battering the ship, and it was about to sink, and the ship was about to break up. And the Bible says there in Acts chapter 27, verse 20, that Paul tells him, he says, now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given. If we're honest with ourselves, each other, and honest with God, there's times when we come and we just sit down and we go, okay, this is it. I've come to the end. And this is, I didn't know how my life would end, but here we are. This is how it's going to end. And man, we just give up. There's no hope. We've gotten tired, we've gotten weary, we've lost the visual of God's power in our life. And all of these physical fatigue, mental stress, all that overtakes us. And that's when the devil defeats us. When we're at our weakest point. I love what the prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 51, in verse 12. Look at this, verse 12 and 13. It says, I, even I, am he who comforts you. Who are you that you should be afraid of a man who will die? And of the Son of Man, who will be made like grass. And you forget the Lord your Maker, who stretched out the heaven and laid the foundations of the earth. You have feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, when he has prepared to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? God says, you got your eyes on me. and you've given in to fear, and you've given in to fatigue, and you've given in to failure, and you forgot. I'm the God who spoke the world into existence. I stepped out from behind nothing with nothing in my hand and nothing up my sleeve. I spoke and created everything. And you think this man that I created can defeat you? See how our minds lead us into defeat? Proverbs 29 verse 25 says, "This fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe." Don't look at what man can do to you. And Jesus even said, don't fear those that can kill and destroy the body, but fear him who can destroy the soul. Jesus is the one that we need to be fearing. We don't need to fear of me. I've never understood this. I've never understood this. Why in the world we get intimidated by individuals? Man, they put their pants on just, you know, one leg at a time like everybody else, you know, unless they're weird. And then why should you fear them if they're weird, right? And we have a God who created all of us. We're all equally created of God. And so why should we fear or be intimidated by other creatures of God? Man, heard about a man who he began to have these dizzy spells. And man, he'd get lightheaded, he just almost passed out, get nauseated. And so he went to the doctor, and the doctor checked him out, did a complete physical on him, couldn't find anything wrong with him. And but he kept having these dizzy spells every day. You know, he'd get up, get dressed, and just start doing it. And so finally he got referred to the specialist, he went to the specialist, that specialist. Nobody could tell him what was wrong with you. Every time they diagnosed him, they'd look at him and think, there's nothing wrong with you. And so, man, he just got so depressed, he lost all hope of living, and he went home, and he just got really discouraged. And finally, he convinced himself that he was about to die. And so he said, well, if I'm going to die, I might as well start planning my funeral. And so he started making funeral arrangements. And so in the midst of making the funeral arrangements, he decided to get a new suit. And so he went down to the men's store and was going to order a new suit. And the guy asked him, what size of collar do you wear? He said, well, I'll wear a 15. He said, there's no way, man, you can't wear a 15. He said, you're next at least 16 and a half, maybe even 17. He said, if you wear a collar that tight, he said, you'll get dizzy. You'll get nauseated. And you'll feel like you're going to faint and pass out. Hello? Some of y'all need to loosen up a little around the collar and understand this morning that we have a God who is greater than this world and that can give us victory. Listen, I'm not talking about some power of positive thinking. I'm talking about putting your mind on the things of Christ. It's just a season that I've been in. And I've prayed, just get up in the mornings and just like, God, here I am. God, my mind is so jumbled right now. I don't even know where to begin to talk to you. God, my mind is going 50 different directions. And so, God, before I even begin to talk with you, I need you just to help me. Just to gather my thoughts. God, to get my mind focused on you. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it interesting? Jesus was crucified at Golgotha, the place of the skull. That's where the devil attacks us. He attacks us in our skull, in our brain, in our minds. And how we think often determines how we live. And that's why the Bible tells us to guard our minds, to put our minds on the things of Christ. Let this mind of Christ be also in you. And so we have to put the mind of Christ in our hearts to combat this. And so let me get to this. Here's the cure of the blues, okay? Here's the cure of the blues. He says here in verse 5, then as he lay and slept under the broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. And then he looked, and there by his head was a basin of coals and a jar of water. And so he ate and drank, and he lay down. And an angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. So he arose, and he ate, and he drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain God. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in the place. Behold, the word of the Lord came to him. He said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here, Elijah?" Some of us go to doctors all the time looking for answers, right? I heard somebody say one time, they said, "I have the greatest doctor in the world. If you don't want him to do surgery on you, he'll just touch up the x-rays." Right? Some of y'all get that about 2 o'clock this afternoon. Rather than actually fixing the problem, we just try to camouflage it, right? To find the cure for the blues, guess what we have to do? We have to put our fingers on it. We have to pinpoint the problem, and we have to be willing to look at ourselves and stand before God. Not as James said, as a man that stands before a mirror and walks away and gets what he looks at. It is that we have to do an honest evaluation of ourselves. We have to get real before God. Listen, God told Elijah to eat and to rest. Sometimes it's physical rest and it's mental rest. Too often, we're burning the candle at both ends. And when you start burning the candle at both ends, that's when we begin to get fatigued. Physical fatigue. When we get physically tired and wore out, our minds go open. And so God tells Elijah, he says, "Elijah, you got to eat. You got to rest." He went back to sleep. He fed him again. Sounds like a Baptist diet to me, right? So he's got to rest. He's got to eat. He's got to be nourished. He's got to be physically strong so that he can overcome mentally this attack. Even Jesus and his disciples had to find time to rest. Notice what the Bible says in Mark chapter 6, verse 30. It says, "Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, 'Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while.' For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to the deserted place and abode by themselves." These disciples, they've been out performing miracles, they've been casting out demons, they've been doing all this incredible work for God. You would think that they could just continue to go on adrenaline, right? They could kind of ride this spiritual high. But even Jesus says, "Hey, we need to get away. We need to get away, we need to rest, we need to relax." And there's been those times, even in ministry, where I've just gotten to the end of the road and, "Man, I don't have anything else to give. And I'm just wore out." Thank God that my wife saw and knew what to do. And we'd pack a bag and get away and just get away for a couple of days and get recharged and get our minds refreshed. And we need that. Listen, Jesus, God, when he created, he created in 6 days, and on the seventh day he did what? Rested. But we need to have a day of rest. We need to have a day of rest, and we need to take that time where we just do nothing, where we can reflect on life, where we can rejoice on what God has done in our life, and then we can recharge for the next week. Amen? So we need that period of rest, that season of rest in our life. And then notice, secondly, Elijah had to assume responsibility for his own predicament. I love this. God comes to Elijah and says, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" Remember last week when God told Elijah, he said, "Elijah, I want you to go to the brook Cherith, and there I'm going to send the ravens to provide you. And there you will drink from the brook." Remember that? Come on. Now God comes to him. Elijah's off in a cave running, and he comes to Elijah and says, "Elijah, what are you doing here? You should have stayed there," right? Listen, sometimes we don't like to go there, but man, here is not a good place. And some of you are in that place this morning. And God's just confronting you. What are you doing here? And it's not necessarily, "What are you doing here?" It's kind of like, "How did you get here?" Think about it. How did you get to the place that you are? Sometimes it's because We've gotten to eat. Sometimes we've made bad mistakes. Sometimes we're the victim of circumstances. Sometimes it's other people that do bad things that put us in bad places. But we need to evaluate, what are you doing here? How did I get here? And to be honest with yourself and acknowledge that you are here. Lord, I'm not here. You know, it's kind of like, you know, those little kids. Yeah, every notice little kids when they play like you know, little peekaboo thing, they cover their eyes. And they think as long as they can't see you, you can't see them, right? And sometimes we think if we can just kind of charade ourselves, shroud ourselves, and cover ourselves up, we think, God won't see me here. And God comes along and says, what are you doing here? Remember when Adam and Eve were in the garden, the Bible says they had perfect fellowship with God, and then they ate the fruit that they weren't supposed to? And God came along and said, Adam, where are you? And Adam basically had to say, I'm over here. I'm not over there where I used to be. I'm over here. And God's like, Adam, what are you doing here? How did you get here? And so this morning you have to do an evaluation. Step yourself up. So you have to evaluate. How did you get? How did you get here? Sometimes people knock you over. That's how you got there, right? So you have to evaluate. And you have to be honest with God. God, this is where I'm at. God, I'm not where I want to be. God, my prayer life isn't what I want it to be. God, I've not been reading your word like I should. God, I've not been a good neighbor to my neighbors. God, I've not been a good witness at work. God, I've just not been what I was supposed to be. Here's the cool thing about God. God already knows why you're there. You see, God's not asking the question to find out information. God's asking the question to reveal to us what he already knows. And when we get real with ourselves, when we get honest with ourselves, then we can find how God will deliver us. And I like this part. In verse 10, so he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, tore down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I'm the only one here. Elijah's venting. You ever venting with God? Yeah, have you ever really been honest enough with yourself and with God to vent? God, I'm here, and I don't like it here. I didn't want to be here. I didn't ask to get here. God, this is all your fault. God says, you know what? I'm big enough, I can take it. I'll listen to your complaints. I'll let you be here. Because my love for you is unconditional. There is nothing you can do that's going to cause me to love you less. And there's nothing you can do that's going to cause me to love you more. And Elijah, he vented to God. In Proverbs 28, Psalms 13, verse 1. Proverbs 13, verse 1 says, how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Have you ever prayed that prayer? Lord, have you just forgotten about me? Lord, what's going on here, Lord? How long is long enough going to be? Lord, you told me to go there and to stay and to dwell. God, here I am now. I'm tired of you. I'm ready to move on. God, I'm ready for the next big thing in my life. God says, no. Sometimes we find ourselves in a place where we just have to be honest with God. I love this passage. Just listen to this. God deals with Elijah, tells Elijah, speaks to him, not in an earthquake, not in a great wind, not in a rock, but in a still small voice. God speaks to Elijah. It says in verse 15, then the Lord said to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel, of Mahola, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. God took Elijah, and he restored him. He said, Elijah, get up out of your pity party and return. Get back from here and go back to there. We often find that when we find ourselves feeling distance from God, we're the ones who's moved, not God. And God tells Elijah, he says, return, go back. Go back to doing what I told you to do. The Bible says Elijah got up and he went. Some of you this morning, man, you're down, you're out, you feel defeated. But here's a word of encouragement. Find your rest in Christ alone. Feed on His Word. Pray that God will give you a hunger and a thirst for His Word. Rest in the Spirit and the presence of God. Feed on His Word. Be honest with God. Tell Him what you like and what you don't like. And then just allow God to speak into your heart and life. And then go walk in obedience. And God will change your blues. Great day. Amen. 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 What a good God. Amen. Amen. Father God, we love you. We praise you. We worship and adore you. God, we confess this morning. God, even in the best of times, God, we still struggle with feeling bad. God, our lives get blurred. Father, this morning we come seeking the light. God, a light that can only be found in Christ Jesus. And so, Father, this morning I pray for folks in this room. I pray for folks on the radio, those that are watching online. God, I pray that today we give them a word of encouragement. God, I pray that they can find their rest in you. God, I pray that they can feed on the bread of life. And I pray, God, that you can just take their hurts and their pains and all of their struggles and God, that you would lift them up out of the mud and the mire. God, that you'd set their feet on the solid rock of Christ Jesus. And so, Father, today I pray for them. God, we ask you all this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. And this morning, Jesus is the answer to our blues. He's the answer to our salvation. If you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, and this morning I want you to know there's a God who loved you. He loved you so much that he gave his son to die. To right all of your wrongs so that you can be in right relationship with Him. If you've never trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, would you just simply come this morning? Mike's going to come and lead us in a hymn of invitation. As God is leading you, would you come this morning? Maybe you want to come to the altar this morning. Hey, just lay your blues up here and say, God, here they are. You take them. God, I don't want them anymore. I'm through with them. Amen? You come this morning. As we stand, as we sing, come right now.
As the deer breaks the waters, which so long is after thee, you alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You alone must take my shield. You alone bring my spirit in. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You're my friend, and you are my brother.
Did you sing that to him this morning?
Spirit, you
pray that you don't let the devil get you down. Pray you have the best money that you've ever had in your life tomorrow. Amen.
Amen.
You just set the roof. Amen. 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 Hey, listen. The no activities this afternoon here at the church. All our small groups are off tonight. And next Sunday will be Mother's Day. And so just make note of that in your plan. We'll be back here Wednesday night for our midweek service time. And so come and be with us then. Again, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Hey, if you have a baby bottle, you picked up a baby bottle and you haven't brought it back yet, would you bring that back next Sunday? Next Sunday is Mother's Day, guys. FYI, next Sunday's Mother's Day, just so y'all know. Give you a heads up, no excuses now. But next Sunday we'll be collecting our baby bottles. There's still a few empty ones out in the foyer there. If you want to pick one up, fill it up this week, bring it back. Help us out in that, but all of that goes to the CDC. Excuse me? How are you put $1,000 check in there? That's right, buddy. That's right. Tell Martha to sign, okay?
All right.
Good deal. All right. Hey, let's sing something this morning. Hey, let's do it again.
All right.
Amen.
I thought I was going to lay down on the floor.
All right, man. Let's start from the beginning. All over again.
All right. I'll sing it all. I stand and hope you